Hey gang, this week's shows are brought to you by Beach Delicious Festival, taking place this Sunday, March 15th at Stonehouse Villa in Driftwood, Texas. Doors are at 1:30 with music from Angela Purley, Topher Moore, Wild Adriatic, and more. It's free to attend with a $10 suggested donation, and 100% of those donations go straight to the band. There's also great food and drinks from local vendors such as Real Ale Brewing, Genius Gin, Simply Delicious Custom Cakes, Cornucopia Popcorn, and more. I'll also be out there doing some podcast interviews with all the bands. So don't forget, this Sunday, March 15th, Beach Delicious Festival, Stonehouse Villa, Driftwood, Texas. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself,
how did I get here? And now here is your host, John Howdy.
All right, hello, welcome to the show. I'm Johnny, I'm your host. South by Southwest is upon us. If you live in Austin, you know what I'm talking about. The people have descended. It is officially on. People are roaming the streets with badges on. They have no fucking idea where they're going. They're going the wrong way down one-way streets. And we're all happy to have you guys here because this makes my show great. I get to talk to a lot of different people this week. I'm looking forward to that. I have a great show for you guys today. Mandy Rowden, who is a singer-songwriter here in town and also the founder of Girl Guitar. We have a great conversation, man, about all kinds of stuff. How she was almost a juror on my mom's murder trial, to like growing up like a very conservative Baptist and fundamentalist and like non-rock and roll. And look at her now. She's out there. She's rocking. Great conversation. She's the co-founder of the Girl Guitar School, which teaches women over 21 instruments. And also they have like band classes where you learn how to do bands. They have songwriting classes. And so she started that school. So we have a great conversation about all kinds of stuff. She's also incredibly entertaining. Before we get to that, let me tell you what's going on with me. South by Southwest is upon us. I'm doing that Beats Delicious festival on Friday. That's when it starts for me. I'm playing Skyrocket shows. If you are in Austin tonight, Friday the 13th of March 2015, we are playing at the 1-to-1 bar tonight at 10 o'clock for a South by Southwest after party, and then we're playing a Yahoo party tomorrow, Saturday the 14th, and then I'm doing interviews all week. South by Southwest is going to be crazy. People are putting out albums. People are releasing records. They have just released records. It's going off. Speaking of releasing records, my friend Ashley Monocle has just made a record, and she's finishing it up, and she's just started a Kickstarter campaign. So I invited her over to come over for a few minutes and to tell you guys about it and why you should donate to it, because she's a great artist. She's getting this record together. I'm sure it's going to be amazing. It was produced by the fantastic Mr. John Evans. And let's talk to her right now. Here's my friend Ashley Monocle. Ashley Monocle, you have a Kickstarter campaign because you have a new album that you have recorded, but still needs to be mixed, mastered, or it's mixed, still needs to be mastered.
It still needs to be mastered.
Mass produced. And so this Kickstarter campaign, you're asking for $17,000, and that ends on April 8th, 2015.
Yes.
So roughly you got a month.
Yeah, we have 29 days.
Yeah.
So I launched it last night at 7 p.m. So far, it's been going really good. It's been under 24 hours, so it's still
great.
Brand new. So we have 29 days left.
Yeah, have you ever done one before?
I have not.
You haven't?
No.
And the thing with Kickstarter is you've got to reach at least that $17,000 goal, or you bite the big one.
Exactly. If I don't reach the goal by April 8th,
will you need
everyone
a hug?
I will need a hug. I'll need all of my friends to come to my house and
just
surround
hug.
Me with their love.
Yeah.
Everyone, you know, none of the people's money who have donated gets taken. They all keep their money and I don't get any. And then therefore I, you know, the album release will be a lot
later.
Yes.
A lot smaller.
Yeah, a lot smaller and a lot later.
So let's talk about some of these incentives that people get gifts when they fund your project.
Correct.
And everybody from $25 up gets a free download of the album.
Yes.
But then you also have higher if you give more than that those steps and you get more things. Is there one where you actually get to go to dinner with you and your family?
Yes, there is. I think that one's $300. So for funding $300 towards my record release, you get to come to dinner with me and my family.
How much?
$300.
Okay,
dinner's on me.
Okay, that's what I was gonna say. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So they get a physical copy of the album, a digital download, and they come to dinner with me and my family.
And I saw one where you're making videos for people.
Yes.
Is that so too?
Yes, I think that one's $750. Yeah. So if you donate $750, you get, I believe, you get two front row, you know, reserved spots at an album release show.
Oh, nice.
And a digital download and a physical copy, and I will record a song for you and of your choice and put it online. One person has actually bought that one already.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Actually, it was Lone Star Music.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. When you, I think that when you go out and you ask a crowd to fund your project, they might not know exactly what all you have to pay for. And so, it's not just recording the album, not just paying the musicians, but there's a whole after thing that happens.
There's so much that goes into it, Johnny. I know you know this, but promotion for the album is huge. You can't have enough money for promotion.
No.
I mean, it's continual. And so, even coming down to as simple as gas money to go on tour to promote the album.
It's hard.
It's a lot.
It's hard to come up with.
And it is good to be able to share what all the funds that go into it. Because I think a lot of people, and this isn't anyone's fault, but a lot of people see musicians doing their thing and they're like, oh man, they're doing so awesome and blah, blah, blah. But a lot goes into it.
Yeah.
That you people don't realize.
Do you know Billy Harvey?
I have not met him.
But you know who I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. He said on the show, I was like, man, it really looks like things are going great for you. Like in India making this movie and then you were on tour with this girl. He's like, yeah, that was like 3 weeks out of my year. You didn't see the other 11 months in one week where I was sitting in my tub crying.
See?
Yeah, there's
It's really, it's a roller coaster being a musician.
It's tough.
An artist. Yeah.
And so your video is great.
Thank you.
And who's the child that comes out at the end?
That's
a winner.
Oh man, she's the star for sure. That's my friend Alicia's daughter. Her name is Presley. And it took about 2 hours to get her to do that little 5-second bit. She was so nervous, but it was adorable.
So you have, this ends on April 8th, 2015.
Right.
And then how long after that till the album comes out?
Tentative release July 2015.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you made this record with John Evans.
I did.
Yes, who produced the Emily Bell album and various other albums. There's some other people I've had in here that he's worked with.
Yes.
Great producer, and I saw him play
Jason
the other night.
James. He's so awesome.
Yeah,
he's
got
badass.
It.
He's got it, for sure.
Yeah, he was doing cool stuff on guitar when I was watching him the other night.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was doing the kind of stuff where you're like, oh, yeah. It wasn't like, whoo de 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 woo.
No,
it was
like
real tasteful, rhythmic stuff where you're like, oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So so people can go on to Kickstarter. They can go to your Facebook page and you have links on there.
They can.
I'll put a link on the How Did I Get Here Facebook page.
Awesome.
So people can find it that way. But get out there and support. You're a great artist. This is, what number of album is this for you?
This is my full length, my debut full length album. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Well, I wish you a lot of luck. Before we go, I've noticed that you have been posting some stuff about Sims and mental health issues.
Yes.
Do you have a second to talk about that?
I do. I'm very involved with Sims.
Are you?
They're an organization in Austin who helps provide mental health care for musicians in Austin. That is something that I am extremely passionate about. My mother is a therapist. I see a therapist through Sims. They're just a great organization, and I feel like I don't even have the proper words to say how great they are.
It has been there for me for over 15 years.
See,
Sims as a guy was my friend back in the time.
Oh,
and I mean, we weren't best friends, but we hung out, and I always loved him, and I love Kyle very, very much, and their family has created a great thing that has helped me through some very rough times.
That's awesome. So, yeah. That's so awesome to hear. And the really cool thing is that you and I are just two stories about how
totally
they, and they've helped hundreds and hundreds of musicians
yeah.
come out of, you know, dark holes
what,
that we
what can people
sometimes.
Do to get involved?
People can go to their website.
SimsFoundation.org.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's a phone number on there that you can call, and you literally, like, if you need a therapist, you call. They will talk to you on the phone. They will ask you a few questions about what you need a therapist for. They will find an appropriate therapist for you
yes.
for what you need,
yes.
which is great.
They've done that for me.
Because sometimes people, they're like, I need a therapist, and they don't know
exactly
where to begin.
Yeah. Or what, like, sometimes you need somebody that might specialize in something.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
That might be your main affect
exactly.
issue, whatever.
Yes. So they'll do that all for you, and it's just great. I mean, and they'll and it's really inexpensive.
Yeah.
So
yeah, they really help out with the copay.
Yes.
All right. So your Kickstarter, back to that, ends April 8th, 2015.
Yes.
You guys have just a few weeks to get involved. I know the South by Southwest creates a blur, but get on your computer, go watch the movie. You're a talented artist, and you seem to have a very genuine heart.
Thank you, Johnny.
Really. Even though you turned me down to play my show that time.
Oh, man, I know.
I'm just messing with
Shit.
You. Thank you so much, Ashley. Everyone get out there and get on your Facebook page. They'll find your Kickstarter there. Ashley Monocle. All right, that's Ashley Monocle. Get to her Kickstarter campaign and give to it. She's a fantastic artist. Let's get this record out. Man, I had a great night the other night. I went with my friend AJ Vallejo to go see The Wind and the Wave. We saw the Rocket Boys and The Wind and the Wave, and then I went with AJ to see him play with his band, The Whiskey Rebellion, that plays on Wednesdays at the Dirty Dog on 6th Street. If you live in Austin, get out there and see it, man. It's a great rock and roll show, like straight up rock and roll. They do some cool covers, like Tush by ZZ Top, stuff like that. Like, it's rock and roll, like straight up. It's great. I had a great time hanging with AJ. We're going to be having some more adventures. The Wind and the Wave was amazing. They just got a drummer, too, so that was exciting. It was an amazing show. Patty's an amazing singer. They've written great songs. Dwight's guitar tone made me want to explode from the inside, and so and my hang with AJ was just amazing. So I'm having a good time, getting ready for South By. Going to do it. If you're in Austin, you know what I'm talking about, man. All right, let's talk to Mandy Rowden. Her new album, These Bad Habits, is out right now. You can find out more about her at mandyrowden.com or just sit back and listen to this great conversation. Here's my friend, Mandy Rowden. Let's get down. Got summoned?
Yeah, it was just your regular old
and so
summons.
How did you get out of it? Or how did were you trying to get out of it?
Yeah. I don't want to do jury duty. I have no desire. Are we on?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess I'm not one of these civic duty types. I don't know. I'm sorry if that makes me a bad person.
Do you know that they summoned me for jury duty 1 month after that? I had to go to jury duty, and like when I got there, I was like, I don't think you want me. Like,
well,
I wouldn't want me on it.
I don't know how to tell them this, but I'm pretty sure I'd be like the worst juror ever. Because, like, I don't know.
Well, I was ready to do it because it had just gone through. And I was like, well, I mean, you know, these other 12 people spent a week of their lives making $5 a day. Like,
oh, my God.
Hanging out, you know, dealing with this stuff.
Maybe it's a point of immaturity with me that I should work on, but.
So, wow, how weird is that?
It was pretty weird. I got summoned, and of course I went.
Did you know who I was then? And did they say, like, oh, does anyone... Mm-hmm. Was that one of the questions? Like, if anyone here knows Johnny, you got to leave?
They had a big poster board with a bunch of names, and your name was first on there. And they said...
Okay, now I don't feel so left out. I like to make sure...
Yeah, there you go. That's one party you were...
I make horrible jokes, too, by the way. Go ahead.
We're going to be best friends by the time this is over.
And so they said, do you recognize, I think, in any of these names? And yeah. I was like, I do. And at this point, it was like, I was like, maybe there were 25 people left. And of course, they're going to pick 12, you know? And so they said, do you know him? And I said, not no, but we definitely have overlapping circles. Yeah, and they said, can this affect you professionally at any point? And I was like, honestly, it might, you know, if we cross paths down the road and I'm on the wrong side of whatever direction this trial goes.
You would never work in this town again.
No, I mean, I sure couldn't sing backup for Skyrocket or something.
Well,
whatever.
Yeah. Well, wow, that's weird.
It was
what
super
a strange
weird.
Small town.
Yeah, this town is ridiculous. And
you know,
it's always
a lady that works with Carrie Sexton. You know Carrie Barry? She married Charlie Sexton.
Oh, no, I know Charlie.
Great friend of mine.
I taught Charlie's kid in rock camp, too.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
He's
everybody
great,
you bring up, I probably taught
great,
their kid.
He said, you ended up with the real guy. I mean, he's the real deal now, right?
Charlie?
Yeah. Hey, don't you think Charlie's really proven himself to be the real deal by this point? No, I mean Marlon.
Charlie's really on the up and up.
Yeah, Charlie's music. Really getting somewhere.
Yeah, good for him.
Now, they said, you know, he's pretty good.
No, what's Marlon doing?
Oh, he is sweeping the nation.
No kidding.
Yeah, he was in this band, The Painted Red Starts, with William Harris Graham, John Dee's kid. And then he, I think they split ways because he's a little more rockin'.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I actually don't know. I don't know the inner workings of that split. But I'm sure it's amicable. But yeah, he's turned into, there's a whole kids rock movement.
I still picture Marlon as being like 9. You know, I used to.
Oh, no.
I didn't actually teach Max Frost, but like all my friends did. Max Frost
was he's a product of that.
Always hanging around in the office, like playing on the internet and
that's
stuff.
That's interesting
like,
to be
all
able
those like cool kids. They were all like dorky little kids at rock camp when I was teaching there.
Yeah.
And I was like, ha 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 ha, and now they're just blowing my career out of the water. Good
well,
for them.
I mean, you know, that's what you would hope for, right, as a teacher.
Oh, like,
you
absolutely.
Go on and take these things I've taught you and do more with it
absolutely.
Than I can so I can slash be proud or be proud slash resent you.
On that same note, when I was teaching there, Susanna Schaffel used to answer phones in the office. And she had like, oh, well, no one ever said a
number.
Crossword. I mean, yeah, because Susanna, like talk about someone hard to get along with.
Did you know she's the number one guest of the show?
She's practically the nicest person on the world.
Yeah.
I almost like made bets with myself, like what it would take to piss her off. I have no idea. Because she's practically.
You know what? I've pushed the limits.
Person I could
imagine. I have. I know I have. And she's always laughed it off.
She had a show one night at Botticelli's over on South Congress.
Yeah.
And all the teachers got together and were like, yeah, obviously, we're going to go support the office girl. And we went, and we were so proud of ourselves. And then, like, she's just blown up. And we're all still teaching in South Austin, just watching Susanna's star rise. It's pretty cool.
She doesn't teach anymore, right?
I don't know.
Maybe a little bit?
I don't know. Probably not. I mean, she's got this banging career, and she's, like, 95 weeks pregnant. So
yeah.
I hope she's taking a little break. I don't know, though.
No, I think I saw she's playing a show, like, Friday.
She would.
You know what's weird? I saw a pregnant lady at a Skyrocket show last week who I totally got a crush on. It was real weird. I thought all of a sudden I have this fetish where I just want to make out with pregnant ladies. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, it's
it might have just been this one.
Everyone goes through it.
There's been a couple. I'm not going to lie. It's not like every pregnant lady.
No.
And it's not like, you know.
Just the hot ones.
Yeah, it's not like I bring girls back to the apartment and ask them to stuff a pillow under their shirt. When they get here.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Put my Pilates ball under your shirt. And kind of walk with your, like your back hurts.
The Forrest Gump.
Yeah, but I can't understand the physics. And I understand that the escape hatch gets bigger as it's time for the baby to come out. But I don't understand how a lady's out there dancing with this huge stomach, just like Susanna. This lady was like 7.5 months pregnant. I don't understand how that baby doesn't just fall out. She was dancing away.
Well, you're getting into some thin ice territory where there's a great chance I'm going to start throwing up.
Okay, I'm sorry. Hey, can we talk about your music for a second?
I'd rather talk about like people almost dropping babies on the dance floor.
Oh, we're going to do that, but
sure.
But there's a contractual
sure,
obligation.
Let's talk about my dumb album.
Your publicist has told me that I have to talk about your music for at least the first 7 minutes of the show. And we're just 6 minutes and 58 seconds in, so I got to really get to it. I found a line of yours that I liked, and I wondered how much this, how true this is.
Oh, God, you're going straight for the jugular. Okay, cool.
Nothing seems real when it doesn't leave a mark.
Oh, yeah.
You got a lot of marks? Is that coming from someone that's all marked up?
It depends on what you mean. If we're going to get personal right off the bat, then sure. I went through a period of 5 or 6 years. Johnny, I don't know if you've ever been involved in a relationship that didn't go exactly how you wanted it to.
Yes,
or if that's
I'm divorced.
Like exclusive just to me.
No, it's you're the only person that has bad relationships.
I thought weird. So. Sometimes I feel that way. No, I just, well, if I were to explain it, I feel like sometimes I wish that someone had warned me about what it'd be like to be dating in your 30s. And it's not as like clean slate as stuff was when we were in college.
No.
You know, like everyone's got their baggage. They've got divorces. They've got kids. If nothing else, they've got their fair share of their heartbreaks and their walls and this and that. And, I was just kind of like, you know, fighting my way through that whole scene. And that's sort of where that particular line came from, where I just felt like everything I dealt with was like delivering me a blow. And it you know, it sucked.
Well, was it one particular relationship?
No.
It was a lot. Dating is horrible. I'm single and I'm 46 and it's awful.
It's literally one of the worst things in the world.
It is. Are you still single?
Not currently.
Okay.
Not currently, but... you know, I'm a little bit like, you know, the roller coaster.
Sure.
I'm on the here. I'm up.
Okay, so you're up.
Y'all can't see me, but my hand's way up above the microphone. But
that's weird.
Not too long ago, my hand was way below the microphone.
Yeah. Well, listen, I feel like I'm on the like my car got stuck on the upside down part of the loop. That's where I'm at right now.
Yeah. Been there.
Yeah. So.
Well,
here's another question
dating.
I have about you. Okay, go ahead. No, go ahead. Tell me
just
about
to just dating. To clear my
clear
myself on that. It's not only dating. Like by this point, just the pain is piled up. Family stuff happens. People I love have passed away. Sad shit has gone down because that's life. And that line was a little bit of a realization of just like, you know, God damn it.
It's
like
funny.
Stuff hurts.
It's
you
just
know?
It's funny you say that. The last girl I went out with was literally half my age, which is real weird because your grandma starts looking at you weird and stuff. It's like, ew, you're fucking creepy.
No, you're banging a chick half your age.
See,
take that, grandma.
See, ladies, that's and in fact, that's what I said to her. I said, I'm banging a chick half my age. Take that, grandma. Put that in your pipe.
If I had a nickel for every time I had that conversation with my grandma.
So. And a lot of it had to do with I was finding that people my age and around my age and stuff, when you start going out with them, I mean, there's a lot of shit. Like, there's that baggage, man. It's not as frivolous.
No.
So on to another. We got a lot to talk about. I hope you have time, right? You don't have to leave.
Yeah, I got
nowhere you don't have anywhere to go?
Yeah, I was going to swing by Matt's El Rancho later, but...
Oh, really?
You know, yeah, it's cool.
Until then. until then. You're going to need to go there and like decompress. So that Haunt You song, that's a stalker song. Are you?
Am I a stalker?
Yeah.
Not currently.
But you have?
No.
Have you ever driven by?
Driven
like
by people's house?
Like to see if the car is there, if his car is there.
A lot of times I've threatened.
Her car is there.
One of my favorite jokes with old friends or current friends or whatever is like, if you keep pissing me off, I'm going to quit riding my bike by your house. You can use that if you want.
No, that's the ducky thing.
Oh, really?
Does he say like, that? I'm going to take you off my route to like to Molly Ringwald in a.
I forgot
in
about
60
that.
Or
maybe
whatever
subliminally
that movie is.
I stole that. But.
No, but you know who told me that once? Will Sexton.
No kidding.
I was on his route in the 90s.
Will was riding his bike by your
house?
No,
no. He was in a car. In the 90s, he would take Macaulay when he was little, his son, and just kind of go around and visit his friends in the morning. Mm-hmm. And I was on his route about 10:15 to 10:45, he'd stop by every day.
Cool.
And then he was wanting me to go do something. I can't remember what it was, but he was like, God damn it. If you turn me down one more time, I'm taking you off my route. And I was just like, what?
Ooh,
what
shaking.
Kind of friend are you?
Yeah, you were just one mistake away from getting cut out of his bike route.
Yeah, his car route. I think I did get cut out. I mean, I probably am.
Did he drive by today?
I mean, he hasn't been by in years.
Okay, well,
I don't think he does it anymore.
No, you've done it.
So,
but about haunt you.
Yeah, about haunt
you. I can
you.
Explain.
Yeah, please.
I kind of like, you asked me an awkward question about whether or not I'm a stalker, and I just changed the subject.
Everyone is in some way at some point. Well, everyone is reduced to it, especially now with internet.
If you tell me for 1 second you haven't, like, just endlessly read through somebody's timeline on Facebook, then you're a liar.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
it's so depressing, isn't it? You just beat yourself up, and then all of a sudden you come across a picture, and they're just having this great time, this hot dude with the chick, and you're like, what the? Yeah.
I mean, I never have, but I just was trying to get you to admit to that. I'll tell you about haunt you. Here's the thing, is within the last, like, year and a half, give or take, I've written so many songs in the key of A minor, with or without a capo, in case you notice that haunt you is in B minor.
All right. Okay. So you're still using the A minor.
Sure. Yeah. And really, it's not because I'm a stalker or a psycho killer or anything like that. I actually, just for the first time in my life, visited New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And this is where it all started. I had never been there, but I went twice in like one summer. And I went on several of these ghost tours, and it kind of started this ball rolling where I got really weirdly obsessed with like New Orleans culture. And I started reading books and short stories and whatever about like all the crazy macabre, you know, ghost stories and stuff. And it was interesting because it worked its way into my writing. I have never done any of those things. If you listen to the song, These Bad Habits, you know, like none of those things have ever necessarily happened to me, but it was a fun little kind of like foray into quitting writing about what I was really dealing with or feeling or has happened to me.
It's escapist writing.
Totally.
It's imagination.
It was
writing.
A fun thing where I just made up stories and I just wrote stuff and it was cool. And some of my, you know, friends or fans, if you want to call them that, have brought stuff up and like asked me if I'm a stalker or a murderer. And I will go on record right now for saying I have never stalked or murdered anybody. But I had a fun-ass time writing those songs.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when did this album come out already? This year? Just like a month
Saturday.
Ago? Oh, Saturday.
What is this, Tuesday? Yeah, three days ago.
Yeah, that was fast. Yeah. And so you did this record, you had like Lloyd Maines, Red Volkart, these kind of cats. Do you ever get your students to come in, old students? Like, hey,
not on this current record. Although in the stuff I've made in the past, absolutely. And I play, you know, song swaps and stuff with my students all the time. But no, I made this record at Treehouse Productions. I don't know if
you know.
I
love Joe Carroll.
Oh, good. I was going to say, if you don't
love Joe Carroll, what a great guy.
You're not paying attention because the guy is awesome.
No, I have a tremendous amount of respect for him. And I keep on hearing his work from doing this show. And I'm always like, oh, yeah.
Well,
because he's just a guy I know from out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I met him years ago because he was working the door at the Saxon Pub.
Yeah.
And I was a frequent haunt of that place. And so we got to know each other. And then kind of on the side, I got to know his wife, Carrie Ann Carroll, who's in her own way just this amazing badass songwriter herself. And it was all pretty fortuitous. One night, I just kind of stopped into Opa, that little wine bar in South Lamar, by myself for no good reason. And Carrie was in there by herself for no good reason. And we got to talking. And she had just finished her album, which also Joe produced and engineered and everything. And I was like, huh, I really need to do this album finally. Like, I've been farting around playing music all these years and never really, like, gone all the way with making an album. So that got the ball rolling. And then a year later, it's done. It's awesome.
Well, you made an album. You made an album a long time ago, like in 2003.
What's up with that?
Okay.
I
didn't hear it. I just saw it on this.
Please
thing.
Don't hear it.
No, I want to.
No, if you're listening to this right now, buy it. It's on my website, mandyrowden.com.
But don't listen to it. Buy it because I need the money. But I don't want to expose you to my horrible
music
from before.
I'm kidding. Yeah. You know, I look at albums this way, like. To me, they're a little bit of like a snapshot of where I am in time. And I understand when I make them that it may not always be the pinnacle of my ability or skill or whatever the case is, but it doesn't mean it's not worth putting down, you know?
Yeah.
Because I've found as a musician that if I wait until I feel like I'm perfect, then nothing's ever going to get made.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I totally know what you mean.
But in 2003, I've been writing songs for maybe a year. And so I did it. I made this little 5-song thing. It's got some awesome musicians on it. My friend Barry Sells on there. Tim Girardo. I don't know if you know him. Another piano player. Another dude I met at the Austin School of Music. Total badass. He's on there. I played violin and piano and cello and harmonica and guitar and sang it all. And I mean, there's things on there that I should be proud of. And I am. But it is definitely 12 years ago.
So, yeah.
That's all.
You, sometimes though, those first songs are like so real and good. You know what I mean? Like you can't.
There's a rawness to them for sure.
Yeah.
They're not my favorite thing, but I'm still glad I have them.
Do you don't play those songs at all when you play live?
Two of the songs off of there I still play. One called Lost Love and one called Big Moon, which is the title track from the EP.
Okay.
I still throw those in at shows from time to time. The other three songs on there, I don't even know if I could get through them. Like, I'd have to, like, go back and remember lyrics and stuff, you know? Yeah. No idea.
Yeah. I just did that. I got together with the band I hadn't been in 20 years, and we got together and did a show. And it took me, like, 2.5 months to learn the words to like 10 songs.
People don't always understand that. They say stuff like, how can you not know songs you wrote? I'm like, I don't know, man.
Yeah, and I don't
it's
know.
It's been over a decade.
If you ever write and record at the same time, like I do that, there are songs that I have put out that have only been played once that time I recorded it.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't even know, like, I'd have to sit down and really figure it out.
Yeah. Well, good. Yeah. I'm glad I'm not alone in that.
Yeah.
Because I forget that stuff regularly.
So now when you play live, do you play with a band? Do you play by yourself? I saw you're doing like a songwriter around or something tomorrow.
I do some of both. You know how it is around Austin.
Sure.
Like, I have some of the guys, some of my A-team guys played with me at the CD release on Saturday, and they're amazing.
Where was that?
Saxon Pub.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and they're great, but of course I have to pay them, and I'm happy to because they're worth it, but I can't necessarily afford them every time a show comes along. So for that reason, I end up playing solo a lot. I'm actually leaving next weekend on a month-long tour, which I'll be doing solo because, good God, who can afford to pay a band for a month? You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. You know what I noticed a few years ago during South by Southwest, I interviewed a lot of bands that were in town, like coming through town. And I was shocked at how many people were two-man bands.
Yeah.
And it wasn't because they're influenced by the White Stripes or the Black Keys. It's because drums make a big difference. Uh-huh. So, like, if you can find a way to just you and a drummer to go out on the road and just two people, you know, you can do it.
Yeah.
You know?
I've toured as duos and trios before, but, you know, there's kind of that disconnect between, like, the duo thing where we're in it together, we're playing each other's songs, we're like this team.
Yeah.
And then where I'm the songwriter and these guys are just
the band
working for the scratch, you know? And
yeah.
I can't expect them to just drop everything they do and take off for a month. So.
Where are you going for this month of touring?
Well, kind of all over.
Okay.
I'm bouncing around North Texas and the Midwest a little bit. And then the real crazy fun will start when I am cutting west into Wyoming and Montana and Northern California.
Oh, you're hitting like some pretty crazy places.
I'm hitting some crazy places. And I say they're real fun, not that they're, I freaking love the Midwest, but I'm a Texas girl and I've never really driven in the snow.
Oh, yeah. So yeah.
I'm taking off through like Jackson Hole and Bozeman and, you know, up into wine country. And we'll see. It's an adventure, Johnny. I don't know.
It is an adventure, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is this the first time you've toured like that, or have you done these solo tours?
It's the first time I've toured on my own for that long.
So it's just you in a car? Are you bringing this dude that you're going out with?
Nah.
What's he going to think of that?
He's cool. We've talked. You know, he's got a job.
He knows you're going.
Like, I mentioned it.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I mean, he has a job like a normal person, so my little bohemian lifestyle, we're learning how to.
That is tough, isn't it?
Yeah, it's weird.
Because do you work a lot, like, not just, like, you teach. mm-hmm. and you have this school, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to get to this at some point.
Cool.
Right?
Yeah, sure. We'll see.
I mean, because it's a pretty big deal.
It is to me. It is to a lot of people. Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
I'll tell you all about that if you want to hear it. But
well, wait. So you have that going on, and then you're busy with the cover girl, right? Do you guys
actually
play on
no,
weekends?
No, no.
Guys...
Cover girl's a thing of the past.
Oh.
Cover girl.
Does it have a different name now?
No. We called it quits about a year and a half ago.
Oh, that's why it said this Wednesday, but then it was last year on the website.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I should go look at the website and see. About a year and a half ago, Cover Girl, which was my all-chick rock cover band.
Yeah, yeah.
We basically all had a lot of other projects going on, and the cover band was just this fun side project. And we did it for a long time, but then stuff runs its course,
sure.
you know? And so we just put a number on it. We're like, if people come out of the blue and want to give us at least this much money, then
we'll do it.
We'll do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's good.
Otherwise,
that's a good way to handle that.
We were just ready to like all focus on the stuff we wanted to focus on because, I mean, we just weren't into the cover
I mean, you're
thing.
All creative people too. You're a songwriter.
Yeah, we were
you
all
want to get out there
doing original music.
Because it can cloud your thing
well,
pretty tough. Like
it's incredibly time consuming, you know.
Yeah. And I mean, once you do get that money, mm-hmm. like you're like, we'll play for this much. Then all of a sudden you get that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, okay, yeah, no, I'll take off.
Yeah.
This weekend and go play an original gig with my band
mm-hmm.
that I have to pay all the guys in the band
yeah,
out of my
yeah,
pocket
yeah.
because I made $200 at the thing and the band costs like $600.
Exactly.
And then you're like, you know what? This Skyrocket thing's pretty... a little bit better than I thought it was.
Yeah. Well, you have to make that decision, which I'm sure you've made a million times between the
I do, but I mean, I took off Friday. I took off Friday and went and played with my all-girl band.
You have an all-girl band?
Yeah. Oh, it's awesome, except I'm in it. So it's all girls and me. It's called Johnny in the Ladies Room.
Well, oh, that explains some pictures I saw on Instagram.
Yeah.
I mean, you showed them your socks, right?
Oh, they've seen my socks.
That's gotta get you some mileage with the girls.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's they have like the non-threatening, socks. Oh no, he's just like a gay dude from the East Village that happens to be in Austin for the weekend.
Well,
he's totally safe.
I wish everybody out there could see Johnny's socks today.
I like little tiny socks, and I found some socks that you can put inside your shoes. And yesterday when I was at the Marshalls, I saw them on a thing, and I didn't really think of the color because I wear wacky socks.
Sure, sure. That's your ride as an artist.
Yeah.
Cool, but...
And, but these are...
But what were
these
you doing
are exceptionally
at Marshalls?
Fruity. I got sheets.
Okay.
You can get sheets. They're really good sheets for half the price of what you'd pay at a regular place.
Brilliant.
I like that you're laughing at me. Like, what are you? Shop at Marshall's? What are you?
You told me before
store,
we turned
John.
This thing on that I could totally bust your ass about the socks.
You totally can.
Okay.
But I also have
Don't
to act
call me
offended.
Out now.
Yeah, yeah. I also have to act offended so that my audience still defends me and you start getting tweets like, don't be mean to Johnny.
I'm sorry. Johnny's the coolest, you guys.
On this album cover, you look a lot like my friend Samantha.
Really?
Uh huh. In fact, if Samantha handed me this album and said, have you heard my new album? I'd be like, wow.
Samantha who?
Constant.
We should do a...
She's married to John Constant.
I don't know them, but...
So the cover girl thing is over. What kind of music did you guys do?
We started doing mostly 80s stuff, but then we branched out. We were everything from Beatles and Stones through the White Stripes and everything in between.
You know what I think? Oh, and everyone at Skyrocket's going to get mad at me. But that's all right. I say to me.
We're no competition for
no,
Skyrocket.
No.
Don't worry
no,
about
I don't.
It.
I don't think that that's a great idea. I think that if you're going to be a cover band, specificity is what makes you stand out.
Probably.
I don't think that, hey, we do everything.
Yeah.
From all time.
No, you're right. It's good to have a
niche.
I can
see how that would be neato at a wedding because your grandma,
mm-hmm.
you know, oh, could you play this? My grandma wants to hear this. And then
sure.
you can play some Gangster's Paradise or something.
We kind of just, we branched out of boredom on
yeah.
our own end. And also because we started doing live band karaoke, which oddly enough, you can make a big old pile of money for.
Sure. And I think that's a good thing, too.
Because it was like, we've all played in these cover bands all these years, and we know, like, a handful, you know, like, not a handful, way more than that, of songs from different eras, so why not throw them on the list? Because it just gives
yeah.
the people more stuff to choose from.
I think live band karaoke is really cool for somebody who, like, is into karaoke but has never fronted a band.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking
yeah.
about it with, you know, Greg Williams? He's got a live band karaoke. He's a saxophone guy. He's a real cool guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Is hardworking guy. He books a lot of stuff.
Is it Glenn in that band? Glenn Rexach or something?
I don't know. Okay. But I was thinking about it and talking about it with him, and I was like, God, that must be... Because you can get up and be like, oh, yeah, I sang at karaoke. Huh? But there's something fucking different when there's a band, totally. Like, behind you, like, rocking and drums and bass and shit. That must feel so cool, well, if you've never felt it. You know what I mean?
We've taken it for granted. Don't you
sure.
think?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's why when he was explaining it to me, that's what dawned on me. I was like, wow, that would feel so cool. Mm-hmm. Totally. Like, you're actually fronting a band.
I can very easily think back to the first several times I got to play or sing with a really freaking loud band, and it was just euphoric.
Yeah.
It was amazing. And I still feel that way from time to time, but on the whole, I definitely have taken it for granted. And so you get someone who's a talented singer but doesn't have that outlet, and then they get to jump in one night, and the band's loud yeah. and they sound good, and hell yeah.
Yeah.
Like, for right there in that moment, that very easily might be the greatest feeling in the world.
Is that what you're helping these people achieve at the girls' rock school?
A little bit.
Because don't you do adults, too?
Yeah, oh, I only do adults. Girl guitar is 21 and up.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. I taught kids forever. You know, like I told you before, I worked at the Austin School of Music. And there for a couple of years, I was kind of the go-to for like the really little kids.
Oh, that God, yeah.
The other teachers didn't want to mess with.
Sure, sure, sure.
And
it's
I
a three-year-old
it.
That wants to play flute. Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah.
I didn't dabble in flute. I'm not a dork. But... yeah, I did teach rock camp for a lot of years, and so I kind of learned how you can take a room full of total ADD 8-year-olds and actually pull a tiny little show together, and it's yeah. kind of fun. And so there's they're going to kill me for saying this, although they're going to laugh, but there's not the hugest difference between a bunch of like ADD 8-year-olds and a bunch of half-drunk women, you know, when it comes to trying to make this thing happen. I always joke with them because... Back in the rock camp days, noodling was this huge issue. Yeah. And so I would plug all the kids' amps into one power strip, and we'd be practice, you know, but then I need to tell them something. So real quick, I'd just like turn the power off. And
oh,
so then I could
awesome.
Be like, all right, now listen up, and here's the thing, and blah, blah, blah. And so, like, even with the girls at Girl Guitar, I'm always threatening them, like, so help me God, I will put you all in the
so
same
what,
power
what,
strip.
So what, explain to me a girl guitar thing.
Tell
me about a class. Like, what's
well,
okay? So you get
have,
a drummer, a bass player. Do these people already know?
Yeah, 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 yeah. There's kind of a pretty wide spectrum of it all. We have about 25 classes a week, and it ranges everywhere from the first time you've picked up a guitar, through more and more advanced guitar, through songwriting, vocal harmony, ukulele, mandolin, banjo, whatever the case is. And then we have this whole other side of it, which is the bands. And that's kind of like the rock camp deal. And each one of them signs up for a specific spot, whether it's drums or bass or keys or guitar or vocals or whatever. And they do have to have some experience because,
yeah,
you know, that's
yeah.
the way it works.
Right.
If they don't have experience, we're all really helpful with getting them a handful of private lessons or working them through another 6-week class so that they can kind of like.
And so is the band in. A 6-week class? You mm-hmm. come in and what, you dole out some songs?
It's all 6 weeks. We have different kind of approaches to each one. We have some that are just your basic rock bands, but most of them are specific to an artist.
Right.
So like, for example, this session we have a Van Halen band doing only Van Halen. We have a Pixies band. We have
cool.
a Gillian Welch band.
No shit.
Take a whole
that's
different
cool
side
as
of
hell.
It. Last session, I taught a Van Morrison band and a Loretta Lynn band. And over the years, we've done the Beatles and Tom Petty and Johnny Cash and the White Stripes. And I mean, you name it. Like, we've touched on all the big ones. And so
nobody comes in and says, hey, let's do the Go-Go's or the Bengals or the Slits or some girl band.
We've done the Pretenders.
The Slits, what a jerk. Sorry.
We did the Pretenders. We did Blondie. We did Emmylou Harris.
Those aren't girl bands.
I know.
Those are female fronted
weird
bands.
Though. But yeah, you're right. You're right. But at the same time, like, just because we are chicks doesn't mean we have to only play Go-Go's and Bangles.
I'm not saying only. I'm saying like, mm-hmm. what? Doesn't anybody come in there and like?
We've touched on those sometimes when we have just kind of like.
I'm the personal representative for both bands, the Bangles
okay.
and the Go-Go's. So
please don't tell them. I'm so sorry. no, we haven't done a specifically Go-Go's or specifically Bengals band yet.
That's
but
interesting.
We're always throwing new stuff in.
Yeah.
We've done the Donnas there.
Okay, there you go. That's good.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Has anyone come in trying to do a Haim song?
No.
No. Oh, that's a good band.
Not that I'm aware of. Okay. I have four other teachers. Four okay. or five, depending on...
I think I know someone who's in that. Or there might be in it. Jennifer? She's got dark hair.
Jen Lee?
No. Yoder.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Of course.
Yeah, yeah, she's at my show on
She sings
weekend.
For a couple of our bands. She's kind of our Monday night chick. She's in every Monday night band we ever throw together. So
what? Are these people coming in with a specific goal or just kind of like, hey, and have a band and have that feeling and have wine with their friends, almost like a girls' club?
Kind of. You know, I don't
like,
use...
Let's get together and have... But these aren't like people like, dude, I'm trying to get my voice heard and get my thing across and I'm trying to make it.
There, we have everything. We have all the way from, I just want to be able to play my guitar when we go camping with my friends on my porch, through like, I really want to go for it, through like, if you're brand new and just trying to get some experience with the band, this is a very affordable, very fun, cool way to do it. And then we have everything in between. So some of those girls really are going for it. Some of the girls who started in girl guitar are touring now, who
really?
Have albums or doing stuff, you know? So, you know, there's some of that. And then there's the ones who just want to be able to, like, play when their family comes over on Sunday afternoon. And, you know, so we kind of like try
and
to foster everything.
And then you guys have sort of like an, like, say a band course is like 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the 6 weeks, you play a gig.
Oh, totally. Yeah, we have the big showcase, which... For years and years and years, we did them at Antone's.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So we're all super excited with the most recent news that Antone's is coming back.
I know.
But
where's it going? Somewhere?
Yeah, Fifth
In the same
Street?
Old place?
No,
Can't they
no,
just
no.
stick it in there?
I wish they would.
No?
Yeah, I wish they would.
That was just really kind of, I can't tell if you're like the dirtiness of it. Like, can't they just stick it in there? And you're like, I wish they
that's
would.
That's what she said.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that, okay. that pause was where I was going to say that.
Yeah.
It's Fifth, a little farther east between like Eddie V's and the Russian House, kind of.
Oh, okay.
You know, what is
okay.
that, Brazos?
No, I'll go over there. Yeah.
Trinity or something.
I mean, I'll go anywhere that place is. It was awesome when it was right over here.
Yeah,
for a few
yeah.
months.
Yeah, we did a bunch of showcases there. Oh, man. We've missed it like crazy. Our Antone's family was a really special thing for us, but we're excited to have it back.
So you do these things and... And I guess these people get fulfilled. They get really happy. They have a good time.
From
they
what
get
they tell
empowered.
Me. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because, see, I don't know that feeling. I mean, I do in a different way.
You're just used to it.
Yeah. Yeah, just sometimes when you see an adult and like, yeah, I'm going to take this rock band thing. And you're like, do you know how horrible this life is?
Oh.
What are you getting yourself into?
Well, we bitch and moan, but what else would you want to do?
You know what's really funny? The sound person for Skyrocket, Catherine, said to me the other day, because I was walking around before the show, about how I've made some bad choices in my life, and one of them was my career.
Oh, come on.
And she said, you know, you were doing that a couple weeks ago at a gig. You were just walking around saying how horrible this is, and how you didn't want to do it anymore. Now you wanted to live a normal life. And then apparently in between songs, I yelled out on the microphone, how lucky am I? This is what I get to do every day for a living. So
you're just kind of all over the place.
I like to bitch. That's what it's all about. Hey, I'm a venture.
What else would you do?
Yeah, exactly.
Not really.
Well, this... But I would complain about this too. I love doing this. I love playing music. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, look, I've sacrificed having a dining room.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sacrificed having a normal life.
Not just anybody. It's not for the faint of heart to give up your dining table to have like this many keyboards in one small space.
Yeah, yeah. And so, hey, you know what I want to talk to you about? And we should have done this earlier. And I'm gonna have to say in the beginning, because this is the juice. This is the meaty part
snap.
Of it for me. Let's talk about growing up. Where in East Texas are you from?
Where in East Texas are you from?
I'm not from East Texas. Oh, I'm from Miami. Okay. Fucking Cuban.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
no kidding.
I know.
So is my brother-in-law.
No way.
You guys were probably in Scarface together. In no way is he tired of these jokes.
No, I love racist humor.
I'm sorry.
That was hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, I love racist humor when it's totally absurd.
Okay, well, and it's like every stupid. Cuban was an extra in Scarface.
The funniest thing is, you know where he sticks the tongue out at the lady?
Yeah.
I spent so much of my life at that pool. That's a Fontainebleau Hotel. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say you spent so much of your life sticking your tongue out.
No, no, you know what? That's where I wore. That's where I wore. That's where I wore my my Def Leppard concert shirt for the first time.
Hell yeah. That's a good place to bust it out.
Because I thought I lost it. And I remember looking. They used to have a waterfall there and a slide. Go ahead.
Okay, East so growing Texas. Up, yeah. Yeah. I don't know if you read it. Well, you must have read my bio if you think my growing up is interesting. I tell myself that everybody's childhood must be weird. Oh, that's like how I sleep at night or whatever, but...
You have a different weird, though, than
my
mine.
My version of weird
yeah.
is... I was born in the Dallas area, but when I was super little, we moved to College Station, which is only like marginal East Texas.
Yeah.
And it got worse after that. But...
And for those of you not from Texas or America, College Station is where Texas A&M is, mm-hmm. the Texas Aggies, you probably know.
And it's just kind of on the edge of East Texas. You know, it's kind of.
I will also, let me just point out, College Station is the only town where, is it Clayton Williams Drive runs into the George Bush Library, or is it George Bush Drive runs into the Clayton Williams Library? That one of those things is happening there because a guy took me there one day and showed me.
Yeah, probably.
And I was
both.
Like, oh my God.
Easily
so
both.
Basically, it's a conservative town.
It's quite conservative. And when we lived there for 10 or so years back in the 80s, my parents kind of went off on this religious tangent and led to all of us being homeschooled.
Yeah.
And at the time, I was the youngest of two. But within 5 years, I became the second of six. So it was one of those things where the homeschooling somehow goes hand in hand with the
constant mating,
just the having of children. Yeah. I don't know. I was a kid. I don't really know the whole reason behind it. And for any of my siblings who are listening, or for my parents, of course, like I freaking love my family. My siblings are amazing. I wouldn't trade any of it. But you gotta admit, it's pretty freaking weird, right?
Yeah, so tell me, what is Fundamentalist Baptist? Is that what Fundamentalist Baptist?
Yeah, Southern Baptist, which
Southern
is
Baptist.
Even
is that, I mean, is that that's step. Not speaking in tongues and stuff?
No, 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 okay. That's Assembly of God. We did that later.
Oh, this is going to be good. Okay, good.
Yeah, this was, you know, it's just really, really, really conservative. I just grew up thinking that, like, anybody who drinks or smokes or has sex outside of marriage or curses or anything like that is just going to hell.
I did
you
almost
know?
All of those today. I'm just
yeah,
joking.
Me too. It's like, what, 9:30? I mean, there's just all these things were so like blown out of proportion. Yet at the same time, like a lot of the people that I grew up knowing, like within this church, were some of the just like biggest assholes I've ever known. It's somehow okay to be hateful and judgmental and racist and just unkind all over the place. But if you like somehow form your mouth to say the word fuck, then you're an awful person. Like,
yeah.
How does that?
Yeah, it's very
how does that
strange.
Compute?
Yeah.
And I can say all that because my parents have completely like, they're so much cooler now. They've loosened up, but this was a little phase that our family went through. And it was an important phase in my childhood.
Was there like a dinosaurs and people together thing going on and everything? Or like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, like.
What do you mean?
Like
dinosaurs.
That dinosaurs and people were living at the same time kind of thing?
Oh, no. We didn't believe in dinosaurs. Okay. No, that would involve evolution.
Right, but that's what I'm saying is that people say like, oh yeah, there's dinosaurs, but they lived alongside white people.
I don't remember all the particulars of that, but I feel like probably dinosaurs were frowned upon, you know? Yeah, I mean,
that's intense. So then they went from that into Assembly of God?
Yeah, we kind of bounced for a while.
Were they looking, like, were they, what was going on in, I mean, have you guys ever, like, you got to be looking for something
yeah.
to drag your family, like, from thing to thing, deeper and deeper into this thing that's supposed to give you peace, but you're going into the freakiest side of it, like the alarmist, like.
I agree. it's hard to say because, like I said, this is only coming from my perception as a child, and I have to be careful because there's this off chance that my mom might listen to this, and then I'll have hell to pay for.
What's
for?
What a great term to use.
I think that their intentions were always really good.
Of course,
I think that it was just you know.
But I mean, did they have a weird upbringing where they were like searching for some kind of meaning in life? You know what I mean? A lot of times maybe. When people go for that, they're looking for something more than what they're getting.
Maybe. They both hail from East Texas as well, super conservative families, super straight. It's just that generation, you know?
Yeah.
Very, very straight upbringings. So I'm not really sure. I think that they were just searching for the right thing. They were kind of hell-bent on staying with the religious side, but then, like, sometimes I feel like if you get into religion, if you're paying any attention at all, you can't help but notice that a lot of things don't add up.
Yeah.
And I think that maybe they were just seeing that, like, it doesn't add up, so we'll try here. This doesn't add up, we'll try here. And, you know, I guess I got to give them props for not just, like, losing faith altogether. I'm trying to be respectful here.
No. When totally, I say that. Totally.
And that's coming from me who, for at least after all this, is I'm not religious at all.
Okay.
My solution was like, I think maybe it's not here. This isn't the place to search.
Right.
And I'm not sure I'm right.
Right. Well, there is also just this, like, you know, people were the ones that said all this stuff. Like,
yeah.
They made this stuff, like, and there was a point. It's funny because people say that people are moving away from religion and stuff like that. But to me, at some point, you really needed those laws.
Mm-hmm.
You needed to tell people, like, to freak them out. Like, hey, you can't act back here because even after you die, you're going to get it.
Sure.
So don't go around killing people.
It's a great ethic, like, moral code.
Of course. Sure. But it slips away when people start realizing, oh, I'm not supposed to. I thought you were just going to unrobe or disrobe.
Oh, no. My armpit was itching for a second.
The best podcast I've ever had. All of a sudden it turns into a striptease. Religion to striptease.
That's how I make friends, Johnny.
Mandy Rowden. On the main stage, Mandy. So what do they think of the tattoos?
By the time I started getting tattoos, I think they were pretty well broken in. You know, I did the drinking thing in college.
Oh, yeah. Let's go there. Okay, so they go Assembly of God. They're still, and you moved away and went to school to Southwest Texas, San Marcos.
Yeah. We did the Assembly of God thing, like, during my high school years, which at this point we'd moved to Sulphur Springs, Texas, which is up near, like, Texarkana, kind of. It's sort of, like, equally close to, like, Louisiana, Arkansas, and Oklahoma,
right.
In that corner. And it's just, like, multiplied that much more up there. The racism, the ignorance, the meth labs, just the general old, you know, hillbilly thing going on, but at the same time, like, so religious. It doesn't add up. But anyway, we did that. I went to college at Southwest Texas, which is now, of course, Texas State. And I did what every normal kid does, and I had fun. I partied. I floated the river, and I drank beer, and I,
did you know. You, when did you go to school there?
I graduated high school in 98. So I did go to school.
2004, you graduated? Did you graduate?
I graduated is kind of a stretch. But.
Okay. Were you there in 2004?
Yeah, that was my last year there.
In 2004, I wrote the jingle.
Shut up, what jingle?
For the name change.
No kidding. I don't think I ever heard that, but weird.
I want to live the Texas dream, see and do everything. Yeah.
Maybe I did hear that.
Yeah, I can't remember. It wasn't Carrie Rodriguez. It was one of Robert Rodriguez's sisters sang it, whose name I'm drawing a blank on, but she's really cool. Anyway, not Patricia Vaughn, one of the other ones. Anyway, wow. Yeah. Anyway, cool. Sorry. Yeah, I wrote your school's theme song.
That's awesome. Yeah, I kind of bolted around the time it became Texas State. At that point, I was playing music and teaching in Austin and paying my own way through school and just kind of realizing that, you know, a music degree wasn't going to get me what I was wanting to do. I never aspired to be a high school band director or anything like that. So I kind of petered out on the school thing, which, whatever. I have no shame about.
No. And you know what I like? I like that you've gone and I don't teach. I don't think I have it in me. I really don't. I don't have any patience.
Fair enough. It's not for everybody.
It's not. But I see people like Darren, and I see people like Corey, Chris Gebhardt, guys that really give of themselves and really, you know.
Totally.
And it must be gratifying to see a guy that's like a Max Frost, you know, some kid coming in for his lesson. And then he's a guy. Like a guy out there doing a thing.
Yeah, totally.
That's amazing.
It's pretty cool, you know. Now that I know that, you know, Marlon Sexton's a big deal, I'm going to totally brag about that.
Yeah. I mean, he's really, I can't remember what the name of his new band is, but he is, yeah, he's great. He's real cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
In my head, he's still like 9 and flopping around.
Yeah, I have that thing with those kids. Stuff, they're all like little kids to me.
He was always such a cool kid, though.
Yeah. You know what I do, too? Like him and Macaulay and Finley and stuff and all the kids that you knew that where they were babies and stuff. I do that thing.
I didn't know I knew you when you were a baby.
Oh, no, like, Johnny, no.
I just said that thing that I used to hate.
Yeah.
I've known you since
last
you were
time
this big.
I saw yeah, you.
You know, you were just running around in diapers crying, stealing Cheetos.
I've said it a few times. It makes me feel horrible about myself.
So let's talk more about this tour. You're just going to get in your car.
Yeah, pretty much. It's my first solo tour.
Yeah.
That not only am I going out on my own, but I've booked all on my own, which has been interesting.
God, that sounds like a nightmare. I hate booking.
Yeah, it's not my favorite.
It is so dehumanizing. It's not even humiliating. It's literally, it's like someone peeing on you. It literally is. But the whole time you're like, when you're done peeing on me, can I play a gig and,
yeah.
and make $15?
Well, there may be a few of those. What I've found to be encouraging in all of the stuff that there obviously is to bitch about in booking a tour is that people are a lot more liberal with their money once you get out of Austin.
Yeah.
You know, to roll into Austin as a nobody and try to demand $200 on a Tuesday night or something, like you can imagine how that would go down here. But like... as I'm booking a lot of these things through the Midwest and up into Wyoming and Montana and stuff, they're just like, yeah, we pay our Tuesday artists $300. We pay, you know, like.
Are they long shows where you have to play like 3 sets or something?
Or? 2 and 3 hours usually. They're all kind of different. And being that this is my first time out, I'm not looking at this as like the end all. I'm looking at this as a lot of foot in the door stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm doing some stuff that may not be my favorite thing, but, you know, so I am playing some longer sets.
Getting out in front where people might already be.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm doing a lot of that, and I have no problem with it.
And so how do you do that? Do you have, like, shirts? And, like, how do you turn that into something that you can go back to?
In my experience, because I have been through all of these cities before, okay. although it's been with other artists or playing with other bands or
okay.
whatever the case is. Maybe I'm small time and I can accept that if that's the case, but I spend just a lot of time just talking to people and Facebook friending and handing out cards and just being cool.
What other way are you going to do it?
I don't know. That's the only way I know.
That's the only way there is to actually do it.
I'm doing some radio spots, which helps a little bit with the mass appeal, but otherwise it's just kind of like, I know some people in each town that I can at least sleep on their couch or something, because last time I was there, we buddied up, drank a beer, made Facebook friends, stayed in touch where I can be like, hey, man, I'm coming through Tulsa again. Like,
and more often than not, they're like, hey, do you need a place to stay?
Yeah. They're like, yeah, we've got a couch and we'll cook you breakfast and send you on your way. And so it's really, that's kind of the way I'm
That's a great feeling. You know what? That's one of my favorite things that I've gotten out of my career is I do have friends in every city that I go to.
And you've done 1,000 times more of it than I have. And so it's encouraging on my end to see that.
It is encouraging.
It can be done. And people are willing to help.
There's like a guy in Oklahoma City that I do not go, even when Skyrocket goes and plays private stuff, after whatever thing I do, I go meet up with him and we go eat a late night meal together.
Yeah, totally.
You just have
those people.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're just eager to help musicians. It's like, I don't mean to speak ill of Austin because I love living here, but musicians here and bands aren't necessarily a treat, you know?
No.
And I've been guilty of this,
too. I don't think that that's bad. I mean, dude, you get off the fucking plane and there's like a dude there with a tip jar singing songs.
It's true.
You know what I mean?
And I mean, I can't talk shit because how many times have I been with my friends and we go into some place and we're like, oh, shit. There's a band here. Y'all want to go somewhere else?
When you're going to eat? Because that happens to me when I'm going to eat. Where I'm like, you know what? I do want to talk. And then the other thing, too, is I don't want to talk. And then the other thing, too, is this: I don't want to humble brag. But sometimes people know who the fuck you are. And you don't want to be like, oh, Johnny Gotti's on my show. Fucking talk through the whole fucking show. Didn't even look at me once.
Yeah.
And I don't want to. I don't want to make someone feel bad like that. I've had shows where, you know, somebody's gotten up and walked out and I've been like, oh my God, he's leaving my show. You know what I mean?
He hates me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know what you mean, but like,
he might have just had a friend outside.
You're playing a thing in Big Sky, Montana, and people are like, oh shit, there's a band here.
Yeah, exactly.
And they get so excited. Yeah. And so that's refreshing, you know? You just don't always get that in Austin.
The other thing that Austin gives you that other cities don't, because it's not like, hey, someone's playing. Oh, really? Where are they from? Billings, Montana. Shit, man, they must be awesome. Yeah. There's nothing like that. But if you're like, oh, they're from Austin, they're like, oh, yeah, must be pretty good.
Yeah, it's true. It's kind of weird how it works, it but is, it's part of the game, and I'm you know, not against playing.
I've noticed that in, like, and not that I handle any business for Skyrocket, but I can see stuff, and it's always like Austin's, you know, like, oh, if they're like the best in Austin, they must be the best in the world.
Yeah, people hold it to some sort of standard, so why not?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I have no problem with that.
So do you aren't you going to be lonely? You're going to listen to my show the whole time when you're on there?
Actually, yeah, podcasts are a huge part of my
What do you listen to? What shows do you listen to?
I'm relatively new to podcasts. This, of course.
I'm joking.
I'm relatively new to the podcast scene because I'm also relatively new to traveling around by myself so much. But obviously, I did Serial.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I did the Serial thing. That
That's a good one. What do you think? You know, they got Adnan's.
He's got an appeal.
He's got an appeal.
If I had to just see, you're going to get me in trouble. This is so controversial. I don't think he did it. But okay. I think he was, like, involved.
Yeah. What was the other guy's name, his buddy?
Jay or something?
Jay.
Jay's shady.
Something real wrong with him.
Yeah.
What else?
There's some cool things about, there's one or two that are basically like what you missed in history class.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, I love that one. Yeah, I subscribe to that.
Those chicks' voices are so annoying that I almost can't take it, but I actually like what they talk about.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. So I learned some really great stuff about the, what's her name? Edna St. Vincent Millay was really fascinating.
I don't think I heard that one.
That was a good one. The Babushka lady from the whole JFK deal.
I heard that one.
Yeah, either. I don't know. You'll have to scroll through, man. It's pretty cool.
There's I have a lot that I listen to. But I have to be like exercising and traveling to
listen
to
them. You'll have to send me a list or something because I'm kind of new with it. I could use some recommendations.
There's a lot of good ones.
Cool.
So you're not like, see, I wouldn't be scared of like outside forces, like scared of like the boogeyman or bad people. I would be scared of being that alone for that long.
Well,
it's a month.
It's a month. And the good thing, like I said before, is I know people in almost every town I'm going to.
Yeah.
So the driving is kind of solitary, but each little town's kind of like a little reunion.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's sort of exciting.
Are you going to keep a blog?
Should I? Is that a thing?
I guess if you tweet or Instagram, then that's a blog.
Yeah, I kind of, I'm an Instagrammer. And
are
I,
you?
Yeah, I guess, kind of. I'm not sure anything I post is interesting, but it's stuff that just cracks me up or whatever.
You remember yesterday you said you tried to be my friend, but I had too many friends. And then this morning I woke up and I had one less friend than yesterday. Do you know that every couple of days I wake up and I don't have the maximum friends anymore? And then I just wonder who it was and what I did.
Well, you could.
For like the whole day. Like, I would say for 45 minutes this morning. I just thought about what I had done and who it was.
Yeah, but I'm so honored because you turned around and friended me.
I did, didn't I?
Take that loser spot.
I hope that's a loser.
Yeah.
Because my feelings are still hurt. I really do get my feelings hurt. Mm-hmm. For those of you that, you know, are out there and thinking of unfriending me, just think about the pain that it causes me.
Maybe they were at their maximum friends.
No.
No.
No, it's, I said something shallow or posted one too many photos of myself or something like that. Someone's like sick of my face, sick of my words, sick of my voice.
I see it from time to time. I get unfriended. And I'm almost, yeah.
You don't know who it is. I think they should tell you who it is. And then that person should fill out.
Well,
you should be able to send them a questionnaire afterwards.
That or
what
when
did
you,
I do wrong?
When you unfriend somebody, I think there should be some kind of scale. Like level one being,
right.
I'm only unfriending you because
I don't really know you.
I mean, we've grown apart.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
like
yeah,
we
yeah,
just
yeah,
we
yeah,
met
yeah,
that one time, you know. And then there's like all the way through like fuck you.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know any of these. I
anything
don't...
in between. So you know if you got like a level 5 deletion, then you should have your feelings hurt.
Yeah.
If you got just like a level 1 and you're like, "All right, well, happy trails, man."
I think that's a good
I'm going to write that letter to Facebook.
Let's do it. Let's
Too many of us out here wondering why we're getting deleted.
That place, OPA, do you mm-hmm. still go there and play?
I go there all the time. It's kind of my home base. I live in that neighborhood, and I hang out there all the time. Like, if I'm ever in need of, like, a getting jacked up on coffee so I can catch up on emails and stuff, that's...
You go there?
My place to go. Yeah, and I'm friends with the family who owns it. I've been invited to their house for holidays.
Look
I've been
at that.
Like, you know, like, we're close, and I've played a million shows there. I did a live album there
a
couple of years ago. I don't play there a whole lot anymore, but I still do sit in with people from time to time and occasionally host little picker circles and open mics just for my girl guitar students and things. So, I mean, it's a big part of the scene, although I don't do, you know, specific Mandy shows there a whole bunch.
Yeah.
But it's a fantastic place, especially as the weather gets nicer.
What's going to happen with your students when you go on tour?
My other teachers are taking over.
Okay.
Teaching the
what about
classes.
Your students? Are they cool with that?
Yeah, I mean...
it's cool to have a teacher that goes on tour.
I think that they're all pretty supportive. There were a freaking million of them at the Saxon the other night for
really?
My release party.
That's
yeah.
great.
They're super supportive. So, it's kind of a good thing. As much as I miss it, it's nice to have another teacher come in and get some fresh perspective and kind of shake things up a little bit. And then I'll come back next session and jump back in. So... Yeah, I think everybody's cool with it. And, you know, because of social media, we'll all keep up. They'll see my dumb pictures and they text me all the freaking time. I'm hardly, like, going to get, you know, we're going to be in touch, I should say.
That's good. Yeah. I guess it's kind of, it's interesting because if you're doing those, it's 21 and up, then you're mm-hmm. meeting contemporaries, like people you could be friends with.
Oh, my God, yeah. I didn't intend this when it started, but this is kind of my social life in a way. Some of my best friends... are people I've met because I was their teacher first, you know?
Yeah.
And even the ones who I'm not, like, super close to, we're all buddies. We all still, like, a lot of times go over to OPA after class and drink some wine together.
Where is the school? By OPA?
We have two lockout rooms upstairs at the music lab on Altorf.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, the music lab is kind of this crazy old warehouse. And then you should come by sometime and check it out because we got these two rooms that are totally decked out. It's so girled up.
Well, I'm single. And I think if you ever need like a, God, that would be creepy.
Maybe.
If you ever work as a pimp / teacher.
Well, you know, maybe there could be that like you just happen to show up at OPA on a Tuesday night and then here comes this army of, you know, half drunk, beautiful, single women.
Yeah, I'll do
you know,
that.
That happens from there. Time to time. Okay, I'll see you Tuesday.
tonight's Tuesday.
Oh, my God. Well. Maybe I'll have to get a little hang together. I'm just saying.
I don't know if I can tonight. Oh, maybe I'll go with my... Oh, no, he's married. What am I, crazy? Can't take him with me.
Wingman. They're going to all hear this and tell me to stop.
You think they'll listen to it?
I hope.
Hey, guys, listen. I hope that, ladies, I want to wish you success in your rock bands. I think it's cool.
I think it's awesome.
How do you teach a song? How do you teach songwriting?
Songwriting is interesting because I always kind of say that to teach songwriting is really probably not the right way to say it because with any creative process, there's not really a formula.
Right.
It's a lot more about like learning your own process, really. We talk a lot about constructing songs. We talk a lot about like improving lines you've written about, you know, really what I do more than teach songwriting formally is to like
critique
lead the
songs.
Discussions
right.
where we all kind of like, you know, someone reads what they've got or plays what they've got and they get to kind of gauge the reactions of everyone. People are like, oh my God, that line really hit me, that line, you know, and it's cool. I really just kind of lead the discussions and kind of guide them through the whole thing because it's kind of like how to paint abstractly. Like,
yeah,
you can't
how do you
say
do
that,
that
this is how you do it,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that's what I was asking because I was like, I wouldn't know what to say.
And I always jump in and tell them that I'm teaching this not because I think I'm the greatest songwriter in town or even in this room necessarily, but I have done it a lot and I've spent a lot of time talking and discussing great songs with great songwriters. And I have like, I think the knowledge that it takes to lead this discussion, you know?
Yeah.
But
well, do you have a favorite song?
Ever?
Yeah.
Or of my own?
No, favorite song ever.
Oh, God. I'm kind of ADD.
Interesting, right?
Yeah, that's
weird
a good question.
I have
like,
one.
It's kind of like favorite color or something. I don't know. Like, what day is it? Maybe.
See, that's what my favorite band thing is. But my favorite song thing is always the same song.
What is it?
Love My Way by the Psychedelic Furs. I don't even know why.
Really?
Yeah. It's just the best song I think ever written.
Is it because of the lyrics or?
Everything about it. I've never heard a better song than that song.
I don't know.
Even the Beatles. I like the Beatles more than I like the Psychedelic Furs. But that's my favorite song.
Interesting.
It does something to me. It tickles a place.
I don't know if I do. That's a good question. I could probably, you know, list off 10 favorite songs or something.
Five. List off five.
Five favorite songs. Oh, God, you put me on the spot.
Okay.
This is going to get silent for a second. Do you have like a, you got to talk about a sponsor?
It'd be awesome if you said like Black Skinhead by Kanye. Do you like Kanye?
I actually do kind of like Kanye.
I love Kanye.
I like Kanye's music.
Right, of course.
I don't like when he talks.
You know what I think everyone's avoiding? I think he's in love with Beyonce. And I think he's not telling Jay-Z. And like Jay-Z's all laughing and off. Like, look, every time someone wins an award, he goes like, hey, you're supposed to give this to Beyonce. eventually, I think I'd be like,
you think he'll show up at the Austin Music Awards next week? Best cover band. Skyrocket. I don't think so. Beyonce.
No. You know what? I think there's no way he wouldn't like Skyrocket because we're like adorable little white people playing white people music. It's so cute to him.
But I'm sure Beyonce could do it better.
Oh, of course. I mean, I think Beyonce's great. I don't like her last album. Mm. Not going to lie. I don't care.
I hope Kanye doesn't listen to this podcast. I hope he doesn't listen to my podcast.
Can you imagine if he listened to it?
Yeah. He'd knock it on your
door. I listened to a podcast, and you know the UCB, the Upright Citizens Brigade? Yeah. They have a theater, and they teach classes and shit. Matt Besser and the other guy were on there, and they talked about Kanye's week at UCB where he wanted to be an improv actor. They have one in New York and one in L.A.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But he went for classes.
No kidding. Yeah. I bet he was terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, he hardly speaks English.
Yeah.
You know?
I think he does speak well. He's a smart guy. That's the worst part about it. It's like, look, I fucking hate Ted Nugent. You know what I mean? I wish he was really dumb, but he's not. Right. If I had to argue, like, toe-to-toe with him about whatever shooting meat thing he does, he would win because he's really smarter than me, probably.
Yeah.
He's not as cool.
No. But he doesn't have your fashion sense.
No, he doesn't. This is a guy that used to run around like a leather loincloth, and that's it on stage. Is there anything that I'm missing? I like you, Mandy. I'm glad we met.
Thanks, Johnny.
Yeah,
me too.
I thought just from our you know what? You wrote something, and I'm sorry, but I have to expose this.
Oh, God.
You wrote something to me, and I was kind of taken aback. You were kind of apologizing if you were using the wrong protocol to get on the show.
Oh, well.
But I was like, God, if you only knew me, like there's no protocol.
Okay.
As long as you don't punch me in the nuts and then ask me to be on my show, it's totally fine.
Cool.
But
I should apologize to KLBJ right now. It didn't work over there either.
It didn't? Is there a protocol?
I'm kidding. Oh. Yeah. Just, don't punch him in the nuts, I suppose.
No.
I'm kidding. That never happened. But, I didn't know. I mean, it's a little informal to send a Facebook message.
This is informal. And I'm informal.
Cool.
So I even have a thing where I have publicists that I'm friends with and they send me people. But when I reach out to people, I don't find out who their publicist is. I just write to them. And if they send me, hey, talk to my people. I'm like, yeah, you know what? No.
It's kind of the Austin way, you know?
That's kind of true. But mine is just kind of like, I'm on the inside. I'm not a journalist.
Yeah.
I'm one of you.
I just figured we'd meet, you know, at some bar sometime taking shots
and
you know, fighting over the same chick or something. But, you know, this is how it worked out.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. I'm,
and then you got on the show. and your boyfriend, I wish him luck.
Oh, well, thanks.
Because I think you're probably a handful.
He's tough. He can handle it.
Yeah. there's nothing I'm missing. People should go check you out. People can go to Mandy Rowden. It's Rowden, right?
Yeah, Rowden.
It's
not Rowden. Yeah, yeah. Okay. No, you nailed it. That's awesome.
Mandy Rowden. Her album, These Bad Habits, is out and available on the iTunes at her shows. If you're anywhere in the United States, go to mandyrowden.com and find out if she's coming to a town near you, even Montana.
Even a town in Montana.
Yeah. Are you doing, are you going to like San Francisco?
No, but I'm doing Sonoma and Susanville, which are both, you know, in the Northern California.
What about Nicasio at the Rancho Nicasio?
I don't know that place.
I lived there for a kid I was a kid. Yeah.
I probably am going to drop into San Francisco, but as of yet, I don't have a show booked. I just have a bunch of friends there that I'm going to try to hang out with.
So good.
If anybody in San Francisco wants to do a house concert or something, I am I am game. I got sound. I got lights.
I bet you're great and in between songs, too. I bet the show, the solo Mandy Rowden show is an entertaining experience, and you get a lot out of it.
You know, I have been complimented on my witty banter, I got to say. Probably more than my music.
Me too.
I'm not sure if that's
a good
thing.
Actual truth. I've gotten texts from people that are friends of mine in the audience when I get off stage that say, stop singing, talk more. So we'll leave it there. Mandy, thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you, John. I've been wild. I've melted like a
candle and wept like a child. Bury the pain. Mandy Rowden. Find out what she's up to by going to mandyrowden.com. That was a great conversation. I really enjoyed talking to her. Her album, These Bad Habits, is out and available. Get out there and get it on the iTunes or go to a record store if you have one near you. See if they have it. If they don't, demand it. Or just go to mandyrowden.com and get it there. Check out Girl Guitar if you are a woman over 21 that wants to get out there and play like a rock and roll dream. A woman over 21 with a rock and roll dream, get a hold of Girl Guitar. All right, Mandy Rowden, get out there and get involved with her while you're on the internet getting involved with her. Don't forget that you can like our Facebook page. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Johnny Gowdy. And don't forget, when you hear a show that you like, tweet about it or share it on Facebook. We're trying to spread the word about the show through the audience. So see what you can do for us. How did I get here? All right. I hope if you're in South by Southwest, I hope you're doing it, man. It's the middle of it. You'll be hearing a lot of shows. I got a lot of interviews coming up. I've got the Beats Delicious Festival coming up. You can go to our Facebook page and find out more about that if you want to come out this Sunday. And all right. How about some more music for Mandy Rowden? I want to thank her for coming by. Great conversation. All right. Let's get down. Have a great weekend.